Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, let's go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. The Big Friday Show, Rodney, anything goes. We don't care.
No, we don't. Not we don't care, Freddie.
Not one bit.
Not one bit, but I care about this, Fred. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Go ahead.
Don't you do it.
What?
Don't you do it.
Do what?
Don't you say it's over. Don't you say it's done. Don't you dare go Charles Barkley on me.
No, all right. All right. To be fair, I didn't say it yesterday after you yelled at me, and one of our listeners actually took offense to me the day before, so I didn't say it yesterday. I did say the Lakers would win. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes. I told you we can speak confidently about them winning, and we think they're going to win, but don't just go overconfident and say it's done. It's over. It's done. They're up 3-1, because we've seen what happens to Denver when they're down 3-1.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
Oh, here you go.
No, seriously, are you kidding me?
Here you go.
That's too easy. They're not coming back from 3-1 down again, but I'll be fair and I won't say it's over, okay? I'll give you that. I will not say it's over.
You just did.
No, I didn't.
You just did.
No, I didn't.
You said they're not coming back from 3-1.
Right, but I didn't say it was over. I didn't use those words. I think that's what you're referring to. Okay, so last night, LeBron said after the game, he knew Anthony Davis was dialed in. Could somebody ask Anthony Davis to rebound? Could somebody? The guy's 7 feet tall. Well, what is going on with that? He's not rebounding, but that's okay. Because early in the game.
It is okay. It is okay. I mean, if he is your 7-footer on the floor. And by the way, they started Dwight Howard, right?
And that helped. Yeah.
So, if Dwight is getting the rebounds, does it matter if Anthony Davis is not getting rebounds?
It matters if Anthony
Davis. Does it matter?
Yeah, it matters if he has one rebound by the half. It matters. Yes, he's got a rebound.
Why? Why? If Dwight Howard has double-digit rebounds by the half, does it matter who gets them as long as they're getting them?
It matters if Anthony Davis, who is 7 feet tall, gets them. Yes, he's got to be more.
But the other 7-footers getting them.
That's okay.
Fred, the other 7-footers getting them.
And I understand that. I understand that.
So
Rodney,
you would be happy if they were if at halftime, Anthony Davis had 5 and Dwight Howard had 5. You would have been that'd have been better for you instead of Dwight Howard having 10.
I would have been happy if Anthony Davis would have had 5. I want Dwight Howard to have 500, but I want Anthony Davis to have at least 5. That's all I'm saying.
They can't have 500, Fred. They can only have so many, right?
Well, you know what?
So no matter what, the Lakers out-rebounded them, but because Anthony Davis didn't have the rebounds, you're not happy.
I want Anthony Davis to rebound more. Yes, I want Anthony Davis to rebound more. And I think he's going to need to. So, yes. But aside from that, don't laugh. Aside from that, he started out very strong offensively. And LeBron said he had his brow down. And I guess if the brow was down, then all bets are off. So you've got to give him credit there. The Lakers persevered and hung on. You got to give them credit there. They did out-rebound Denver. You've got to give the club credit there. But the one thing, and ask and ye shall receive, and you knew it was going to happen. And actually, it was disappointing to me to see it. Because you wondered, is it going to happen? It happened. You can't tell me in the first 3 games of that series, the officials missed so many calls that last night things were going to change dramatically. You can't say that to me. I mean, there was a huge disparity in the amount of times both teams went to the line. Worked for the Lakers' favor. They win. They're up 3-1. That's great. But the NBA's got to be better than that. You can't have a team announce, look, we sent some clips. LeBron has not been going to the line, and we're going to look into it. We're going to ask the league to look into it. And the league did. And all of a sudden, bam, things changed. That's not right. It's just not right. And I think it's bad for the game. I'm glad the Lakers won.
I'm not buying into that. I think it was just the ebb and flow of the game.
No.
I'm not buying it at all.
Jamal Murray.
I think teams do it. Team do it all the time. LeBron got hit in the face a couple times. It didn't get called. I mean, it is going to be an ebb and flow. I think the officials doing as good a job as they can. I knew this was going to be a reaction today because the Lakers went to the line more. Oh, see, they complained to the league. And they complain to the league every game. Every game there's a complaint to the league. This is having to be reported. Every single game, and Malone comes. We're going to do it too. That's gamesmanship. It happens every single game with every single team.
And you know what's going to happen
every time.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yes.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen tomorrow?
There'll be a basketball game.
No. Aside from that,
and then you'll pick a narrative out that says, "Oh, see, Denver went to the line more than the Lakers, and Malone was right."
Yep. Yeah, I think that'll happen tomorrow. Yeah. I think that will happen tomorrow.
I ain't buying it.
LeBron went to the line 10 times in three games. He went to the line 14 times last night. No. Now, maybe they missed.
Maybe he was more aggressive.
No.
Maybe he was more aggressive last night.
No. Maybe they missed calls in the first three. I'll give you that. I will give you that. Maybe they did. But that's a huge disparity. Come on. Come on. That's not right. Lakers went to the line 12 more times in Denver. Okay, maybe that happens. But it happens right after the Lakers publicly let it out that they notified the league they weren't
happy. I'm going to call you QAnon from here on out. QAnon Fred.
Why am I QAnon?
Because you're the conspiracy theory guy.
All I'm saying is this. It seemed either a little convenient.
Q Fred. Q Fred, Kevin.
It seemed a little convenient or a little ironic.
I think Fred has a point, Ryan.
Yeah, he does. Sure he does. Sure he does. So Denver goes to the line more than Lakers. It's going to be because Malone complained?
Yeah.
That we're going to say?
That's exactly
right. We're saying that right now?
I'm saying, get your ink pen.
Okay.
Get your ink pen.
All right.
Write it in ink. And the league shouldn't operate that way. I mean, I don't blame the Lakers for making their statement. And now I don't blame Malone for making his statement. But come on. That's just too convenient. Way too convenient. And Jamal Murray, and I'm with the Lakers here, but Jamal Murray, who was just spectacular, went to the line, or did not go to the line, a couple of times late in that game, and he was hammered. Hammered! And he didn't get the call. And no, he is not a superstar in the league, but playing in this arena, under these lights, certainly, this is his coming out party. Come on. Come on! He was hammered right in front of one of the officials and didn't get the call. No. Did they didn't throw the game. I'm not saying that. I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm saying is this is a little convenient. It really was. Good for the Lakers. They've got a 3-1 lead. I'm not going to sit here and say it's over because if I do that, then it'll start a whole nother controversy and you'll get mad at me again. So I'm not going to do that. Lakers are in a very good spot. But come on. The official,
how many times are you going to say, come on?
Well, the officials have got to be better.
Segment?
No, the officials
have got to be better. Segment on Monday Night Football? Come on, man. What are we doing? Did it affect the outcome of the game?
Yes.
You think the fouls, the disparity, the fouls for the Lakers, so it affected the outcome of the game? Like, the Lakers should not have won that game.
No.
It was the officials that really won that game, what you're saying.
No, I'm saying the officiating made it a bit more interesting.
I mean, if nothing else, you can look at some specific plays. I mean, Jamal Murray had two driving layups where he got fouled and they weren't called. And in one of those instances, I believe Denver was down 4. He goes to the line and makes 2. So one possession game. So it could have had an impact on the outcome. I'm not saying the refs won the game for the Lakers, but could it possibly have had an income impact on the outcome? Absolutely.
Now, to be fair, And
okay, right. Let's go back to every game in history. How can that can have an impact on a game on a call that goes one way or another?
Not something that blatant. Right after a game where the Lakers openly complained in the media about the officiating.
I ain't buying it. But what I'm saying to you guys is you guys are looking at it like, oh, they just complain. They complain every game.
Not
every game
not
is complained.
Not publicly like that. Not but to
every
Frank
game,
Vogel and
every
LeBron James.
Every game, there's a complaint to the NBA.
But not publicly.
There's a complaint to it. Now, yeah, they weren't feeling they got the call, so they went to a different way of doing it. And they went out and they leaked it to the media, saying, right, we talked to the NBA.
And this isn't the first
time.
So
you're saying that had the influence on the officials?
It could have. I mean, this isn't the first. I mean, Phil Jackson would do this all the time when he was the coach of the Lakers.
Everybody does it, Kevin. That's my point.
Not publicly,
Rodney. When Phil Jackson would do it publicly, it worked.
Yeah. Oftentimes it will work.
It worked. Yeah, everybody does it. That's a fair statement, but not publicly. Yes. So now Michael Malone has put them on notice.
Sure they do. And look at most of the press conferences you'll see after. We didn't get the call late in the game. We need to get that call late in the game. Ooh, man, I was hammered during that game. I got beat. I can't get beat up like this. But Shaq used to do it. Magic used to do it. Jordan used to do it.
Yeah.
But Pistons used to do it. It goes back in time of history. I ain't buying it.
But there's a distinct difference from saying I didn't get that call late in the game and we've notified the league office.
That we weren't getting calls the entire game, which is what LeBron
We don't have to talk
Frank
to
Vogel
the NBA.
Said.
How many times have you seen that? Man, I'm getting hammered. Allen Iverson used to say it. I'm getting killed in here, and the refs don't do nothing about it. We don't have to talk to the NBA.
Well, let's check the tape many times after those games the calls were different, and they got calls in those specific games, because those would happen. Teams do it, but more so than any other league, when they complain, what happens directly after is affected by what they said the day before. That's the point we're trying to make. I'm not denying that everybody doesn't complain. They absolutely do. But to do it publicly like this and for the calls to be as skewed as they were going into last night's game prior to what they were before, I can't sit here and say that it had no effect or that it was just another game the Lakers just happened to have more calls. It's just too convenient for me.
And the Lakers, by the way, even with all of that, had to fight to the very end.
Yeah.
I mean, that was no cakewalk. That was a tough game. But
what do you think it was going to be, Fred? You think Denver was going to be a cakewalk? That's why I keep telling you to stop saying that.
I didn't say it.
Well, Rodney has a point on that, Fred.
But I didn't say it.
Come on,
today.
Fred.
I didn't say that today. You do have to acknowledge this.
This series could be easily 2-2 or even flip 3-1.
It could be 3-1 Denver, to be honest.
It could be flip 3-1. I mean, it really could. Denver can beat anybody.
See?
Anybody. Anytime, any game.
I'm not putting that in the universe.
I would not count them out any game.
I'm not putting that in the universe. You are. I'm not.
Because Rodney
haven't you seen enough? You've seen stuff with your own eyes, and you still are not a 100% believer.
That's right. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You're going to believe me? Or what you see?
It sounds like somebody else we know that says something, and people still don't believe it came out of his mouth.
Give the Lakers credit on this. They were far more aggressive last night. You've got to give them credit there. I mean, they came out and they were fired up and they played with intensity all the way through. Give KCP credit. You know, sometimes he's in the witness protection program. Sometimes he shows up. Last night he showed up again and he made a difference in the game. Give AD credit because he did play well early and finished strong. Give LeBron credit.
Don't forget playoff Rondo.
Get playoff Rondo.
Big offensive rebounds.
Why are you hating on Rondo? You know what, Kevin? It's so hard for him, you know, to give, you know, Carmelo Anthony a little love. Yep. It's hard to give because he bashed him so hard in the past.
No, I give.
You know what I'm saying?
Did I give Melo love?
Playoff Rondo is the MVP of this team in this series.
Yep.
And you didn't even mention his name until Kevin brought it up.
That's true. Kicking and screaming, you gave Melo love, Fred, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, but I retracted. I said, look.
Well, it became undeniable at that point. You'd look like a fool if you didn't.
So, why do you think I retracted it? Am I going to believe what you tell me or what I see? All right, I saw him and it worked. It was solid.
But yeah, similar to KCP, Rondo has been kind of a whipping boy for Laker fans all season long. And even dating back to last season, he's been huge. And yeah, you're right, Rod. Even as important as LeBron and AD are, Rondo, whether you say the scoring third option or not, he has been their third option as far as the tempo that he pushes, the assists, changing things up, the defensive intensity. Yeah, I would say he's probably the MVP of the team.
He allows LeBron to run the floor. I mean, when they get it out going, it doesn't always have to go in LeBron's hands. Because, you know, if you're like me, you don't want – because you could see it coming when LeBron dribbles out the clock and then he shoots a long three. It just bothers me. But the tempo of the game picks up when Rondo's is handling the ball and they're both in the game at the same time. I think it's a great combination, not to mention the huge rebound, offensive rebound he got late in that game.
Yeah, well, the Lakers completely dominated them on the offensive boards. And
that's because of the refs. The refs allowed that to happen.
Well, didn't you see? Didn't you see that one time where the referee got the rebound and gave it to AD?
Yes.
Look, the Lakers up 3-1. I'm not going to say it's over, but I will say this. It's pretty much over. Hey, we're down 3-1. We got them right where we want them. We got them right there. Yeah. Okay, Walker Buehler. Hey, this was big for the Dodgers last night. Walker Buehler looked good. Didn't have any blister problems. Ned Coletti will join us next.
Oh, yeah. You know, we love Chicago.
Yeah, we do.
We really love it. But we especially love it when we have our next guest coming on.
That's right. He knows him. His dream was to be Peter Cetera. Well,
that was his dream.
That was his dream. He wanted to be Peter Cetera. Instead, he became Ned Coletti. So we welcome our good friend Ned Coletti to the show. Hello, Ned.
Gentlemen, I actually wanted to be Robert Lamb, who wrote and sang that song. So
boom.
You're close, but you're not
See?
Quite there.
There you
Robert
go.
Robert Lamb. Write it down. Robert Lamb.
God, they're good. Oh, love it. Okay, Ned. So here we go. This is it this weekend, and then the playoffs get started next week. We'll start with this. Walker Buehler. Okay, was that a huge sigh of relief for everybody?
I think it was as big as anything that's happened to the club, really, almost all season, when you think about it. Because how do you get to a postseason and really feel good about everything you've had go on for the last 56 games, 57 games, if you're missing a guy like Walker Buehler? So seeing him, great command, walks one guy, that told me a lot. Great life on his fastball, great curveball. Slider didn't use too much. That seemed to be the pitch that was causing the most issue. And Dodgers play long enough during the postseason, we may be able to see that come back into the repertoire.
Hey, Ned, what do you see the rotation being as we go forward? Who would you like to see in that rotation?
Well, I'd probably start with Clayton. Just because of the veteran status and because of how things line up. I mean, he can go on 5 days rest. He's going to start tonight, I think, and that gives him 5 days to Wednesday, 5 days off. And then Buehler would end up getting actually 2 extra days off by doing that, which would probably give the finger just a little bit more, you know, more safety there instead of trying to keep him on a regular rate. But I think I'd go with Clayton. I don't think you'd go wrong with either guy, but I think that the blister situation would make me cautious a little bit, and I'd probably give Buehler as much time off as possible, which would be 2 extra days, really, because he could probably go, what was yesterday? Yesterday was Thursday, so you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Tuesday is his day, so if his day turns out to be Thursday, you've actually given him 2 extra days.
Okay, well, there's two. Who's three?
Well, three, I think we'll have to wait and see. Maybe Tony Gonsolin. I think you'd probably start with Tony of the three guys, and maybe go Tony, Julio, who looked great out of the pen 2 days ago, and then Dustin May if you needed it. I think, you know, you've also got to think, you know, you can never think ahead to the next series completely, but you got to keep it in mind because these playoffs are going to be really quick. There's not, until you get to the World Series, there's no off days in there. You know, maybe between a series if you finish early. But as far as inside the series, you're going to have to play straight. So it's a different dynamic than you had before. I would always lay it out, and I think, you know what, if I've got to bring Clayton back on short rest, here's where I could do it, because you got an off day at least. But now, if you don't have the starting pitching to go every day, you're going to have openers, you're going to have bullpen days. And when you look at Gonsolin and you look at Julio and you look at May, I don't know another team that's got those three types of pitchers sitting after two guys that could be Cy Young candidates in healthy years. So I think I start with Gonsolin in that game and see how far he can go. And don't stretch him out. Don't put him in an inning that you're going to try and steal an inning from the game, so to speak. When he's had enough, he's had enough. But I'd probably start with Tony.
Ned Coletti with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. What a spectacular year for Corey Seager. What just, I mean, and you know, this Ned, I don't want to say it was make it or break it for him, but I think there were question marks as he heads into the final year of his deal. I think there were question marks. And if he stays healthy, would you agree that he's answered all the question marks?
Oh, goodness, yes. He is, as a healthy player, he's such a good player. You know, I don't think we've ever taken him for granted, but sometimes, you know, we lose track of how hard it is to find a middle of the infield bat that can play defense and can do what he's done. He's on about a 45-50 home run pace if they were playing a full season this year. And I think his whole personality is a little bit different. I think the last couple of years, his personality, I've known him since he was 18 years old, had a little bit of a heaviness to it. It's probably because of the injury and probably not feeling right. And you have two surgeries in 1 year. That's a lot for anybody, but for an athlete, especially somebody that plays a sport like he does and has so many different moves and different things that you can't script it and you can't protect yourself. You just play. And you end up putting yourself, if you're not feeling right, in a difficult spot. So I think it's been great to see what he's been able to do this year. I think in the wintertime when little murmurings about Francisco Lindor coming here and with JT still standing at third base, you know, it may have also been a little bit, because people hear everything, you know, whether it's fact or fiction, you're going to hear about it. And I think that the idea that he's still here and that he's feeling good, and then he's got a guy heading ahead of him like Mookie Betts. And, you know, he's that 1-2 part of the order is pretty special. And then after that, you got other guys that can hit. So he is taking advantage of his good health. He's taking advantage of the lineup. And it's merged into really one of my, I'm not supposed to have favorite guys, I guess, but, you know, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite young people that I've watched grow up and evolve into a great guy and a great baseball player.
No, 100%. Ned, as we look forward to the postseason of the teams that are out there that are likely Dodger opponents, Cardinals, Brewers, Marlins, Reds, Giants, who do you think would pose the most problems for the Dodgers?
Well, I don't think any of them can really beat the Dodgers if the Dodgers play the way we've seen them play. Cincinnati's got some real good starting pitching. And that, when you can start, and you can, but you're going to have to not get, Cincinnati's going to need more than five innings out of a Bauer or a Castillo, or if Sonny Gray comes back and can pitch, you're going to need more than five innings because the game is too long. You're going to need six, seven innings out of your starting pitching. And I think they may have that, and then you're going to have to cobble it together after that to some extent. But most of the teams do not have nine innings that they can cover with quality. And I think that's where the Dodgers are so much different than anybody. And the Dodgers know it, and the Dodgers exploit it with their ability to really grind out at bats and run through a pitcher or two. When you think about the teams we've played, how many of them have nine innings of quality pitching, nine innings that they can cover, whether it's a five-inning start and then four innings out of the bullpen or four and five or six and three or seven and two, which is a rarity these days. But how many of them have quality that can go for nine? There's very few. We've seen hardly any. Philadelphia's bullpen ERA is eight. Eight for the bullpen ERA. Joe Girardi, you know, dear friend of mine, I'm sure when he picks up that bullpen phone to call to get somebody up, he's hoping some days the signal's busy, you know, because guys, you know, they just, but a lot of teams are like that. It's tough to cover all nine innings the way the game is today, and the Dodgers can do it, and most of the opposition can't. But a team that could give you six or seven out of some quality starting pitching, like Cincinnati, I think they would be the one team that you've mentioned that they may be able to give the Dodgers a little bit of a run there.
Okay, Ned, before we let you go today, you're doing some webinars, right, and trying to get people the opportunity to get into sports front offices.
Yes, I started to do that. I've been teaching at Pepperdine for 4.5 years, and I continually get asked by people, you know, how do you break into the business? How do you negotiate? How do you build culture? How do you do all these things? So I figured, you know what, I would take a few Saturdays here in the fall and teach a little bit. My idea is to keep the group small, maybe 5 to 8, 9 people at a time, and teach for about an hour. And then have questions for about an hour or so, however long they want, and a strong percentage of the they're gonna have to pay to do it. This ain't all free, but the strong percentage of it will go to the Union Rescue Mission, which is in downtown L.A.
Nice.
And if you've been down there for, you know, lately, you know that the issue of homelessness is not going away; it's just getting larger. So a lot of it will go to that cause. Good people down there. Andy Bales, who runs it, is a longtime friend of mine from the Rotary Club. and figure we can, I can help people I don't know, and in turn, they can help people they don't know, and everybody can help everybody, and I think that's a good way to be right now.
That's outstanding. And if you want information, what do you do?
You can go to my Twitter, The Real Ned Colletti, or LinkedIn, Ned Colletti, or my Instagram, Ned Colletti.
Cool.
It's all right there, right at the top.
Ned, thanks for coming on. Have a great
weekend. Thanks for mentioning that, guys. I appreciate you doing it. But always good to talk to you.
Okay. There goes our buddy Ned Colletti. And, hey, if you're interested about getting to a sports front office, Rodney, that seems pretty cool. Ned's gonna help you out.
No, he's a great guy, as we always talk about. He's been in the chair. It's not like somebody talking from afar that doesn't know the real experience. Ned does. He knows all aspects of it. So not a person better to do that, to learn from, than Ned Colletti.
All right, who wants to play a little Know Your Squad today? Who's ready to take on Ronnie and Rodney? 866-987-2570. And the way it works is start calling right now. First caller in, Kevin will pick up the phone. Normally these lines get jammed pretty quick. So if you're the first caller in, you'll get a crack at it today.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know Your Squad.
Okay. I will not reveal what the Know Your Squad is until we get the caller on the line, Rodney.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that.
What's that? Why? Why?
I don't know how many of these people anyone's going to know.
Why do you say it like that?
I'm just saying. When I tell you what the squad is, you may understand why. And here we go. Dave and Lomita. Dave, how are you today?
Real great. Thank you, Fred. Good to talk to you again.
Good talking to you. Okay, Ronnie, Rodney, Dave, it's Know Your Squad. Let me give you all of the choices before you answer. If you answer too soon, you will be locked out. And today's squad is Know Your Bruins.
Ooh.
Not good.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You see why I didn't want to reveal the squad?
Oh, buddy.
But some of these... No. Some of these may resonate. Ronnie, you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Let's do it. Which of these UCLA basketball players led the team in scoring last season? Chris Smith, Jalen Hill, Cody Riley, Tiger Campbell, or the Tiger King?
Tiger Campbell.
Hill.
Cody Riley.
Cody Riley.
No, senor!
Abdul-Jabbar.
How about new?
Good, Dave. I should give it to you just on the basis of that answer.
Hey, what did Lou Alcindor back then?
Yeah, well,
it is no good.
I can't even remember the rest of the name.
Okay, well, no one's getting a point on this one. Sorry.
Why?
Because, all right, you want me to give you all the names again?
Yeah, please.
Who
yeah.
What, Kevin?
Wait, Dave, what name did you say a second ago?
Smith.
Yeah, it was Smith.
Oh, you're right, Dave. You get it.
Oh, my God. What in the world is wrong with Fred?
Well, I didn't hear him say Smith. I think you overpowered him. All right, Dave, you got the point. Way to go. Outstanding work. Let's go to the next one. Now, this one will be easy. The Bruins beat Xavier in the finals of the Western Regional in 2008 to advance to the Final Four. Kevin Love was tied for the team lead in scoring in that game with 19 points. Which other UCLA player scored 19 points in that win? Here we go. Darren Collison, Russell Westbrook, Luke Mbaamute, Josh Shipp, or Josh Rogan?
Darren Collison.
Westbrook.
Ronnie. Darren Collison.
Ronnie.
Darren Collison.
Darren Collison. Very good, Ronnie. You're on the board.
Thank you.
UCLA's last bowl win was at the Alamo Bowl in 2014. Okay, which of these schools did the Bruins beat that year? Kansas State, Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State, or Big State?
Texas Tech.
Kansas State.
Kansas State.
Rodney, Kansas State is correct.
I said it first.
No.
Rodney had it first.
Wow, Dave. Okay. Wow, Dave.
Hey, a little feisty, Dave, but you didn't have it first.
I thought I beat it. And I thought I did beat you. I did. I thought I did.
You know what Dave did, though? He just came with it really confidently. I got it first. Check the tape. No, not
all right,
tape.
No problem.
Okay, all right. Everybody's got one. John Wooden won his last national title as UCLA head coach in 75. Who was the Bruins' leading scorer in their national title game win over Kentucky that year? Okay. Marcus Johnson, Richard Washington, Andre McCarter, Dave Myers, or Dave Grohl?
Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Dawson
Young. Nate Myers.
Myers.
Ooh. How about new?
Lucius
Allen.
I
can't remember the other names.
I don't remember the other names.
You want the other names?
Lucius Allen.
Yeah. And it is no good.
Lucius Allen was not even a possibility. Do you want to go with Jimmy Wynn now?
How about Keith Kloss?
Nelson Young! How about new?
The other names were Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl.
And it is no good.
Chris Novoselic.
I heard an S on it. It could be more than one.
The remaining names are Andre McCarter or Richard Washington.
Richard Washington.
Andre McCarter.
Richard Washington.
Ronnie Richard Washington. Man, I can't believe that wasn't top of your mind. Richard Washington.
No, who was right? Is it Washington?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I said. He said McCarter.
No, Dave. Ronnie said Richard Washington.
Then you said Dave. I think Dave got that one.
Dave did not.
No, he did not. He absolutely did not.
We don't even need to go to the tape.
Not worth it.
Did not get that one, Rodney. Hey,
I'm trying to help you, Dave.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Rodney.
Okay. The aforementioned Lou Alcindor is one of two UCLA basketball players to be selected as a consensus All-American three times. Which of these men is the other? Sidney Wicks, Jamal Wilkes, Dale Goodrich, Bill Walton, or Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Jamal Walton. Wilkes.
Bill Walton.
Ronnie. Ronnie got it.
Cassidy Cadillac.
Who was it?
Dave, it was Bill Walton.
I said Bill Walton.
You did say it, but Ronnie said it first.
Dave,
Ronnie,
you're a day late and a buck short in slow
meter. I must not be able to hear Ronnie. That's my problem. I can't hear him through the radio. So it sounds like I was saying it first.
Hey, Dave.
Oh, well.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
You just heard me.
Ooh. Okay. That's a burn, Dave.
Ooh,
oh, that's
Ronnie.
All right.
Ooh.
I'm not going to sit here, Ronnie, and let you burn Dave like that on a Friday.
Hey, he's lucky he didn't get a fade out on a Friday.
Oh, wow, Ronnie.
Ronnie.
You know,
you really don't care this Friday.
I'm sorry, are we playing a game?
You know what? Maybe we need to take a point away from Ronnie. We're just being mean today.
You know,
what?
Fred?
Fred, if that's the case.
I need to see my hearing doctor or my therapist, one of the two after this.
All of the above.
All right, here's the last one. Good luck. Cade McNown is the school's leading... Oh, I'm sorry. Cade McNown is the school's leader in all-time passing yards. Which of these players is second in school history in career passing yards? Was it Brett Hundley, Troy Aikman, Josh Rosen, Corey Paws, or Corey Haim?
Troy Aikman.
Brett Hundley.
Rosen.
Rosen, no!
Josh Rosen.
Dave.
Josh Rosen.
Dave.
Yes.
You got it.
All right, you go.
All right.
Woohoo!
So, nice enthusiasm.
Hey, you heard it, too.
Okay, yes. So as it plays out, today's winner was Ronnie. Dave, you finished second. Rodney, you finished in the cellar.
Where's my applause, Fred?
Thank you. Wait a minute. Are you begging for applause?
Bull crap. Well, you usually give the winner applause, Fred. I just feel left out. That's all.
Okay. Well.
Can I play under protest and pull a Lasorda, something like that?
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
All right, listen, Dave. Settle down. That's just not necessary.
Took you a while to find that drop, Fred.
Oh, yeah, it did. All right, Dave, you can play under protest, yes. But you still lost.
Okay. All right. Can I say something, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just want to say that I've been listening to you for years. You've been back on the ticket, and I was one of your drop-ins. It's my claim to fame in life to be a drop-in on the Fred Rogan Show. My drop-in was you got a minute.
What was your drop-in?
You got a couple of minutes.
Oh, you got a couple of minutes. Yeah.
It was a story I told you about a rose and a kiss that I got on the freeway once coming back on the 405 from TJ. And then you used it as a drop-in. So I appreciate that.
Well, Dave, it was my pleasure. And it was a very romantic story.
I've been listening to you since I was a kid, watching you on NBC and growing up with you. And you're as close to Vince Scully as possible.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
There's a way that the sky opens up when we touch it. It's making me say that the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feels so holy, holy, holy.
Today's Afternoon Delight is Holy by Chance the Rapper. The Chicago rapper released this song along with an accompanying music video late last week. The video features actors Ryan Destiny and Wilmer Valderrama, as well as singer Justin Bieber, who is featured on the song. In a statement talking about the record and his relationship with Bieber, Chance said, "I made one of my most important songs with one of my most supportive friends, and I really want y'all to hear it tonight when it drops. I know this record will make you feel something, and I know that feeling is love." Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Holy by Chance the Rapper featuring Justin Bieber.
Rodney, Kevin, I got to tell you something.
Talk to me.
That was a good-ass intro.
You don't say.
Very solid. You know, it's funny. That was the song that really caught my attention by Chance the Rapper.
The good-ass intro?
It caught your attention, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one?
You know, it was from the Acid Rap CD back in 2013.
Okay.
I've been a fan that long.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You were a day one, huh, Fred?
Right there. Embryo. I was on it. Okay, well, here you go. Congratulations. Congratulations to the Pac-12. They're going to play some football. Let's hear it. Here's what the president of the University of Oregon said. The man that chaired the group, that voted to let the Pac-12 start playing. You know, this is something these students dream of. This is something they want for their future. COVID-19 has taken so much away from these students. I didn't want to take this away from them. Okay, well, let me tell you something, President Schill. The dance has been going on now for about a month. Good to have you show up. Good to have you. Everybody's been dancing. And now you're saying, pull your shoes out of the closet. It's time to go. Really? I didn't want to take this from them. Come on. I'm glad they're playing, Rodney, but really?
That is the worst statement ever, right?
Yeah, I mean,
what are we talking about? Look, say something like, look, we were trying to act in the best interest of our kids, which is why we delayed the start. And now, as we see a different climate and there's different things happening within our country now, we feel like it's appropriate for us to reconsider and start in November. You know, say something like that, but don't say, I didn't want to take this away from the kids and they deserve this. And no, we reevaluated. It's a fluid situation and just be honest, right?
Yeah, because it's
straight up.
Everybody else is already doing it. It's like you're making this magnanimous gesture.
Yeah.
You've finally seen the light and it's okay. No, you say that if you're the first ones through the door.
Right.
Not the last ones through the door.
Yeah.
So they're going to play a 7-game season. And then they're going to have a championship game in December.
And he also said it was not about the money at all.
Okay. Well,
there's nothing to do with the money, but don't they get like $60-something million from being able to participate?
One of the problems was when he made that statement, his nose grew 23 feet. That was another problem when he made that statement. Yeah, it is about the money, and it's about looking bad. That's really what this is about. It's about looking bad. Everybody else is doing it. You might disagree, but everybody else of any consequence is doing this. So now this magnanimous gesture, you're going to do it as well. 7 games, conference title game, December 18th.
And they're doing it, Fred. And, you know, look, we're not out of the woods. And it's going to be, even from all accounts, as the fall rolls around, there's going to be a spike, right? There's going to be a spike in cases and things of that nature. And the people are now, it's at the point where you're just going to play through it. I mean, we talked about Notre Dame having to cancel a game and other schools that get it. It's just, as they say in golf, you're just going to play through it now.
Right.
If you have to cancel the game, you cancel the game. The Marlins, remember? They had to cancel so many games at the beginning. You know, Now they're in the hunt for the playoffs.
Yep.
So it now it's one of those, okay, we're going to treat it the best we can. We have ample testing, so let's go do it. If a number of our kids come up positive, then we have to deal with it then, and we'll act accordingly. But I think you're right. They would have looked so bad if especially after the Big Ten went ahead and the Pac-12 didn't do it. It's like, okay, we got to follow suit.
Yeah, it's not about the money. But by playing in the fall,
yeah,
the Pac-12 will receive $66 million in a payout from the college football playoff.
Right.
It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about two things here. It's about the money, and it's about looking bad. And if you look at it in a positive way, well, at least they're going to play. But this is one of the issues with the Pac-12. You know, be a leader. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. If you want to act big time,
let's not go back, because weren't we calling them leaders in the beginning?
Right.
And when they were one of the first, said we're not playing, we're going to shut this thing down, we're going to stop in the fall. We championed them, right? We celebrated that.
But a leader also realizes when it's time to pivot. A leader gets that.
Yeah, but I don't want to not acknowledge the fact that we celebrated, and I thought it was a good decision, because we were talking about that with high school sports too. It's like, why are you waiting? This thing is not getting any better. Let's err on the side of caution. Let's just wait this out. And they were, you know, Pac-12 was applauded for that. And I think it was the right decision at the time, but you're right. You got to pivot. And when you do pivot, make the right statement when you pivot.